Trust helps us rely on God Almighty and on the God in other people. Trust gives us a feeling of security in that we are relying on God to lead us and take care of us. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4.
Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength.
This concept of trust, particularly in those verses, is to lean on or rely on God. That's where the peace comes. That's where the strength comes. It starts with that trust or relying on God. Trust helps us to cast all our care upon God. 1 Peter 5:7.
Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
So it is also very effective against worry and pressure spirits that make us full of cares, and against self-reliant spirits that make us feel we have to do it all ourselves. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 4 and 5.
And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God.
If we have been loaded with mistrust, evil spirits, we need more trust. Trust builds in us an assurance that God cares about each of us individually as a unique soul. This trust in God can grow as we see how in each of our lives he has taken care of us time and again, intervening to help us in times of trouble, guiding us, and seeing to it that we got the things we needed. Daniel 3:28.
Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God.
This is the same example where they had this stubbornness, and they were going to trust in God, and they were not going to change from the fact that they were relying on God and trusting in God, and God fulfilled their trust. He sent an angel to deliver them. And in our case, God will always send the spirit we need, the deposit we need to deliver our soul if we trust in him stubbornly. Yeah. The same trust can then be there as God leads us to take bigger steps or to take courses of action whose outcomes are not always clear. 1 Corinthians 1, 9, and 10.
But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us.
This is Paul, and in this section he's talking about being a minister and getting in this situation where he was pressed. He was not on the abundant, full feeling side, but what did he do? He knew he had trusted in God in the past. God had always taken care of him then. He was going to continue to trust in God, and he knew God would take care of him then. So what this paragraph is talking about is more of a growth of trust, and how to exercise and work trust in our mind is by reminding ourselves and asking God to remind us of all the times when he has come through for us. And then in this present day, he may be telling us to do something that really makes our eyes pop out at the very thought of doing it, but has he not always been there for us? Hasn't he always taken care of us in things that were very difficult for us to do in the past, or very unusual things for us to do in the past, and he took care of us then? In Romans 8:24, and it's specifically the third use of this word hope, and also verse 25, the word hope is also trust.
For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it.
This is talking about our hope or our calling, and the fact that we hope for our hope, or we look forward to getting this calling, and connecting it with the idea of trust. Mm-hmm. So the understanding on this is we believe or have faith that God has a calling for us, but we trust or hope that he will create within each of us the specific things we need for our particular calling. We trust that he will work his blueprint within our lives. 1 Peter 4:19.
Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator.
And Ruth 2:12.
The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust.
And Psalms 37:5.
Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass.
This paragraph is somewhat about helping us focus a little bit more on the difference between faith and trust. Faith is to believe the blueprint, to believe God can do it, to believe a lot of things, to take in the seed and substance and mix our faith with it. But trust is where it goes a step further, that he's going to do it in our lives, and we trust he has a plan for us individually. He has a calling for us in mind. Yeah, we believe he's going to clean up the world and all these other things, but we also trust that he knows what our old man is and how for us to crucify our old man and what the pitfalls are going to be, and that he's going to be there to act and counteract to get us through the process in our own life. We can also trust that God has his hand on this ministry, so that if we would be given a wrong seed, or if we did not get the deepest counsel or discernment on a situation, or if there are spirits working in the body, God will see to it that the seed is straightened up, or that we get what we need, or that the spirits get taken care of. Psalm 62:8.
Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah.
So, have a problem, have a question, have a concern? Trust in God. Pour out your heart to God. Tell him about it, and then drop it. Let him take care of it. Trust helps us get our eyes off vessels to trust in God and his blueprint. Psalms 20, verse 7.
Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God.
Amen. So we don't want to trust in chariots or horses. That would be looking at someone and what they've got, but we want to trust in God. And Psalms 118, 8 and 9.
It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes.
Amen. We can exercise our trust to become more led of the Spirit. If we have a feeling to do something good, such as evangelize to a person, and we are not sure whether to do so or not, we can say, God, I'm going to witness to this person. If you don't want me to do it, stop me. This is trusting the feeling we are getting and trusting God to stop us if the leading is not of him. If we are sowing seeds, and at some point the Holy Spirit shuts down in our mind, then we can trust that that is God saying we have given the other person enough.
Yeah.
Note, the idea of trusting God to stop us does not apply if we are knowingly choosing to do something evil, letting spirits work, or disobeying counsel. If we are wanting to sin, that is our choice, and God will back off and let us do it. Matthew 4:7.
Jesus said unto him, It is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
And hopefully we are mostly beyond this, but when God first explained it to us, the idea of saying, okay, God, I'm going to do this, and if you don't want me to do it, just stop me. Good idea, but we can run it through the discernment and counsel checks first before we do that. Has discernment just warned me about a spirit that would want me to do that? Well, that's God stopping us ahead of time. He should not need to also now go to some lengths to stop us in the situation. So to not run it through our discernment and our counsel, to not check and minimally see is it a good thing to do or an evil thing to do, we need to do that first, but then we can definitely say, and God, now I want to do this good thing. I'm feeling like you're leading me to do it. If it's not what you want me to do, stop me. So that was just a little qualifier at the end, not to go to an extreme.